I don't think I've ever preached from up here before. we're juggling with microphones today, so that's why we're up here. So the prayers of the people will be up here as well, Jim, FYI. Yeah, just because we have a microphone. So it's kind of nice to be up here. This is interesting. It's a different vantage point. Usually we preach from the floor. But I'd like to say welcome to you all, and I'm so glad that you're here tonight. What an evening it is outside. I don't know if it's still snowing outside. We can't quite see through the windows, but I imagine when we go home it will still be a bit of a trek with all the snow and swirling wind. We all made it through a dark, cold night, and now we sit here together, warm and safe and snug. So I'd just like to take a moment for us all, for us to soak up this time. I invite you to close your eyes. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and let it out slowly. And try it again, a couple more times. In this dark, cold night, have you heard that old tales come true? In this dark, cold night, all of our hopes and fears, he has heard them, and he has answered us. In this cold, dark light night, there is a light shining, and the light is not in some distant galaxy far, far away. Instead, the light has come down to us, to shine here, to live with us, to live as one of us. Long, long ago, the prophets promised that God would be mighty to save, that a light would shine deep in the darkness. And we gather tonight because the light came down to banish the darkness. It came just as a helpless child. And he was born after God had been silent for hundreds of years. Why was this baby born? What was the reason? I'd like you to picture a wise king, one who knows about law, medicine, history, mathematics. Dressed in royal robes, a crown on his head, sitting on a throne. Can you imagine him? And his people come to see him and they bow down because he is the king. Then one day a dreadful plague hits the kingdom. And no scientist or doctor can find a cure for it. And in fact, the scientists and doctors are dying from the plague too. And so out of love, the king takes off his crown and his royal robes and puts on a humble cloak. He grabs his doctor's bag and goes out into the kingdom to heal his people. And this is what Jesus did for us when he was born to Mary. Now I've just read a few moments ago the opening words of John's telling of the life of Jesus, and we heard this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this Word is one of Jesus' names. The Word Jesus became flesh, John tells us. Even though he is God, he became human in order to be a light in the darkness, in order to heal his people. Well, let's take some time to talk about what this name is, what this name that Jesus has, this name, the Word. We all know what words are. You're listening to me throw a whole lot of words at you right now. We speak words all the time. Words come from our mouths. With breath from our lungs, we push them out. Ideas coming from our brains. Feelings coming from our hearts. We have to take responsibility for the words that come from our mouths. Because words change things. Words like, I love you. You are stupid. I promise. Words change things. They remain in our memory, words spoken to us and words that we have spoken. And I am guessing that if you're anything like me, you know that words are not always true. Words do not always build up. We know that promises are broken. We know that words shame and break hearts. I have broken my promises, and I have hurled words like spears to wound. And I have failed to speak words of compassion when they were needed. And my words did not build up reconciliation, but kept me safe behind a wall. The Word became flesh, Jesus. This Word is different. The Word is from God. In the first part of the Bible, Yahweh, as he is known often, God, regularly acts by his Word. With his Word, in Genesis, he brings life. He creates the world. He heals. He brings hope to his people, to all of creation. The Word of God is not an abstract principle. The Word of God challenged the darkness before creation. God was before creation. God's Word challenged the darkness. And you can read about that in Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. When God sent the Word, Jesus, he sent Jesus to heal the world from its darkness, from sin, and to challenge the darkness found in creation, and also bringing in the start of a new creation. Could you shift to the next slide, please? I might have a slightly different translation. I have. Is that verses 4 and 5? I can't see with my terrible glasses. Okay, that's good. So just enjoy that, because I'm going to come to that one in a second. Sorry. So I'd like to start with verses 4 and 5. In him, John writes, in him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, God takes his own time to act, that he keeps his word. The light shines in the darkness. And so on this cold, dark night when we come together, I expect that many of us are yearning for the light, a light to banish the darkness once and for all. It's not complicated, though, for us to respond to the Word of God, this Word that brings light to the darkness. We don't have to polish ourselves up. In fact, there's nothing we have to do. In fact, there's nothing we can do on our own to banish the darkness. Only the Word will banish the darkness once and for all. All we have to do is believe in his name. His word is true. His word heals. His word brings life. His word bears hope. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so as I close, as we gather on this dark, cold night, receive this gift of hope tonight, this gift of reconciliation, of peace, and grace. It is a gift that will last forever. Jesus, the Word of God, with us and for us, the giver of life. Amen.